Well, you know, Christmas time is a time when we go shopping, do we not? And we go shopping for gifts because we want to give things to people. And, you know, parents and grandparents, one of the greatest joys that we have is getting gifts for the kids. And I don't know, it just, you know, there's a joy and an excitement that you get out of watching the children open their gifts. You don't even want to open your own. You don't even care if you have gifts for yourself. You just want to sit there and, you know, watch the kids and the expressions on their faces, their eyes light up and all that. It's like, man, that's cool. That's cool. And, you know, mom and dad, they go out shopping and, you know, they get Johnny the gift that they think he's going to love. And, you know, they just know he's going to enjoy it. And then Christmas morning, they get up. You ever notice how kids don't have a problem getting up early on Christmas morning? You know, Johnny wakes up early, runs in, Mommy, Daddy, it's Christmas. Come on, we got to open the presents. And so they go into the room, and, you know, there's the tree. And Johnny looks, and there's this big, you know, present there at the tree. And he looks at that and says, is that for me? And Mom and Dad said, yep, that's for you. And, you know, little Johnny runs over there, and he can't get over there fast enough. And he, I mean, it's just a blurry, flurry vision of hands and feet and teeth and everything else. He's ripping the paper off. And then when he gets the paper off and he looks, and there it is, the most absolutely perfect gift any kid could ever want. No, not a Red Ryder BB gun. You guys been watching TV, haven't you? No, it's the greatest, most incredible, most wonderful, most perfect Christmas gift a kid could ever want. It's a box. And the parents stand there and they watch as Johnny opens the box and he takes the present out and looks at it and sets it aside and goes crazy on the box. Climbing in, climbing out, turning it on its side. That's his haven, his hideaway, his man cave. Oh, what joy! A box. And there's Mom and Dad looking at this. Look at this. He's playing with a box. Boy, I spent $200 on that present. And you are going to play with it. You have any idea what it cost your mother and me to buy that for you? He could care less. He's got a box. And if he's got a dog, I mean, he and the dog, man, they're in heaven. They're in the box. They have no clue what the present is. Oh, they know. I mean, they see it, but they don't. He doesn't know what to do with it, what to play with it. I mean, it's there. It's his. But he's happy with the box. His life is now the box. And I'm thinking about that, and, you know, that's kind of the way it is with Christians. We play with the box, but we really don't know what the gift is. I want to read some things to you, because as I was thinking about all of that, I began to realize, you know, in the Word of God, He's given us gifts. And how do you think God feels when He has clearly identified the gifts that He's given to us here in His Word? And all we do is play with the box. Let me show you. Turn over, start in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to take a look at a few of the gifts that God has given to us. And just consider how much we are using these gifts. Or, you know, let's just use say like, you know, how much are we playing with our gifts? How much are we putting our gifts to use? In Ephesians chapter 2, look here in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift. And so, somebody tells us, well, you know, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Get saved. So we say, okay, I don't want to go to hell. And you're right, I got a lousy life. And so far I have been pretty no good at changing it myself. So yes, I want Jesus. So we pray, oh Lord Jesus, commit, you know, the sinner's prayer. And then they tell us, now you're saved. It's a free gift. The gift of salvation. It's like, yeah, that's cool. And? What is salvation? Well, I got my sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, got my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm going to heaven when I die. Hallelujah. Okay, and? But is that all you know about salvation? It's just a box? You know the box of salvation. But what is salvation? Well, I don't know. I have a teaching series entitled, I'm Born Again and I'm Saved. See, I was raised to believe that born again and saved were the same thing. And so, praise God, I'm born again. I played with the box. I'm born again. I talked about my box. I'm born again. I'm saved. But I didn't know what salvation was. I had no clue. All I thought was, I'm going to heaven. That's it. What I did not know was that salvation is not simply a matter of me having my sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, about me going to heaven when I die, but salvation is also about how I can live here on this earth. That I don't have to live the way I used to live. That I don't have to be what I used to be. That there's a difference. He's given me the gift of salvation. The thing is, most Christians really do not know what salvation is. They've been told they've received it, that it's a gift of God, but they really don't understand what salvation is all about. In other words, yeah, we got the box. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But the gift is right there. The gift of salvation is right there the whole time. Let me show you another one. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I really want you to pay close attention to these, because some of these verses we're going to read, these are verses that, you know, we read over and over again, but in some cases we just haven't maybe paid the kind of attention to them that we should have. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, look here, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. So, what do? We think in terms of, well, praise God, God's given me the gift of eternal life. Wages of sin is death. Well, Jesus Christ took care of that for me. No longer do I have to face the penalty of the wages of sin. You know, that death. I now have eternal life. Well, have you ever really sat down and thought about what that verse is saying? The wages of sin is death. Well, everybody dies. You understand what I mean? Physically, we all die. Sooner or later, that's going to happen. So it can't be talking simply about a physical death. How do we know that? Because in the same verse it says, the gift of God is eternal life. Therefore, the death it's speaking of is more than just a physical death. It's the kind of death that will hang with us for all eternity, unless we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And once we put our faith in Jesus Christ, then God gives to us the gift of eternal life. Where is that eternal life? Well, it's on the inside. The wages of sin, that death, that was on the inside. Well, now, because I put my faith in Jesus Christ, God's given me the gift of eternal life. And so here I am. I am a vessel of eternal life. Now, where did I get that eternal life? Well, it came from God. Now, if I received this eternal life from God, that means this is God quality life that exists on the inside of me. If all I do is play with the box and never sit down and realize that God has imparted His own life to me, I will live my life on earth death-minded instead of life-minded. Jesus didn't have that problem. Oh, He was housed in a physical body, all right, but He knew that He had the life of the Father in Him. And that's how He lived. That's how He ministered. Listen, Jesus never once saw Himself as being defeated by anything. In fact, He was even so bold as to make the statement when they were getting ready to crucify Him. He said, "Hey, you can't take my life from me. I'll yield it when I choose to." What in the world kind of mindset is that? You just make a decision, what you want to do. He knew it. He knew He could. Have you ever considered the possibility that a lot of Christians have died before they were supposed to because they had lived with a death mentality and not a God's life is in me mentality? God's given us the gift of eternal life. But until we realize we have that gift of eternal life, it's what, yeah, we talk about it. But we're just talking about, it's box talk. We don't really understand what's in the box. God's life on the inside of us. God's life. Literally, the Creator's life on the inside of us. You start thinking like that, you develop that way of thinking, you know what? You're not going to live with embarrassment. You're not going to live with defeat. You're going to have a mindset that realizes, look, if God be for me, who could be against me? You're going to live every day of your life knowing that. If God be for me, who can be against me? In other words, who can stop me when I'm going for God? But when you live with a death mentality, you're going to see defeat and failure in everything you do. And it's going to come out of your mouth. You will speak that defeat. You will speak that failure. You will speak everything you can't do. And you don't see that in the life of Jesus. In fact, what you see in the life of Jesus is total victory. He spoke victory. He spoke victory so much He could speak it over people and they would live that victory. He would speak the victory of sight to the blind people and they received their sight. On and on it goes. That's because He knew He had the life of the Father on the inside of Him. And this is what God's given to us. He's given to us the gift of eternal life. Man, I got to work on my own thinking. I mean, you know, it's too many Christians live with that defeat mindset, live with a death mindset, live with a worldly, gloom, despair, and agony on me mindset. Well, Jesus wasn't like that. And now God has given to me the gift of eternal life, and I don't have to be like that either if I just will play with the gift. You understand what I mean? Let me show you another one. Stay here in the book of Romans. Turn to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 16. "And not as it was by one that sinned," speaking of Adam, "so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." What do we see here? We see that God has given to us the gift of justification. That's probably not one of you in here knows what that means. Now, there's a good chance you do. But out of all the people that are going to hear this sermon, the majority of them probably really do not know what justification is. I mean, that's just like, you ever heard that song, what is it, by John Denver, about the president? He didn't know what it was, and he didn't know, but it would whistle, it would beep, it would, you know, I mean, you heard that, it's a cute little song, really cute. He said, "I don't know what it was, but it was a great present." Well, that's the way it is with justification. It's like, glory to God, I'm justified. It's a free gift. What does that mean? I don't know, but praise the Lord, I got it. So here you have a gift, you have no idea what it will do. I remember here years ago, remember when computers operated on floppy drives? Okay. Well, my brother, or somebody gave me this floppy drive that had been given to them, but it wouldn't work. They put it in a computer, it wouldn't do anything. And so they said, now here, you know, you can have this. I don't know what it does. You know, just you see if you can figure it out to make this thing work. So I took it, and I'm looking at it, and wouldn't work. Well, here, you know on the floppy drives how it had that little metal piece there on the side? You know what I'm talking about. You put it in the computer, the metal piece kind of goes back and exposes, you know, the little drive on the inside, the little floppy thing in there. Okay, here's the deal. It wasn't a floppy disk. It was a calculator. It had all these numbers on the front, and what you did was pull that little metal thing down, and it operated by light. It wasn't a floppy disk at all. And I still have it at home. Thing works great, you know. So here we were, you know, somebody, they had it, they couldn't figure out what it was. It don't work, you know. Here, try your computer. Well, once we figured out it wasn't a floppy disk, that it was a computer, well, then we can put it to use. But we're sitting there, you know, everybody that ever had this thing, it's like, what's it do? I don't know. Don't work. Had no clue, but it looked nice. Pretty blue. I mean, it was a nice looking whatever. So here, the Bible tells us that God has given to us the gift of justification. Well, that's a big word. And so we like to, you know, I mean, a lot of Christians like to use a big word like that. It makes them sound holy or something. Justification, yes, we have justification. Well, what's that justification mean? Well, justification, yes, hallelujah. And they don't know. Well, if God gave us the gift of justification, don't you think He'd like us to know what it is, how it works, and how to use it? Well, yes, Brother Martin, that would be really nice. Okay, let me clue you in. You know how a lot of these gifts, when you buy them, they come with a thing called the owner's manual? And in the owner's manual, there are instructions. How many of you know one of, please, don't, you know, be like some guys that just throw the manual away. I can make this thing work, but I don't need that manual. Yeah, right. Guess what? This book right here that you should have brought with you today, this here is the owner's manual. Church service, you know, bring your Bible to church. This is the owner's manual. It tells you all about justification. It tells you what justification is. Justification comes from a word, justify, but the word justify comes from the word just. What this means is that God has given to us the gift of being justified in His eyes to live like Jesus here on the earth. Justified to boldly approach the throne of grace. On and on it goes. We have justification. We're justified. But most Christians don't know what that means. We can say the word, we talk about it, and we make it sound like we know what it means. But then when it comes to how we live, we're not appropriating the gift into our lives. We're just playing with the box. We know the word, we're playing with the box, but we don't know what's inside it, don't understand it. Look at the very next verse. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, and look here, the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I have been given the gift of righteousness. That means I've been made righteous. Righteousness comes from the word righteous. Righteous comes from the word right. That means I'm right. I was wrong before I was born again. Now I'm right. I am righteous. I am righteousness. I have righteousness. I mean, all of it. It's a gift that God has given to me. And how many people, Christians, will stand up, even preachers from the pulpit, and declare, there's none righteous. Well, now, wait a minute. On my Christmas Day, the day I was born again, on my spiritual Christmas day, I looked under the tree of life. And there I found the gift of righteousness, and it had my name on it. Now I opened it. And as long as I don't just focus only on the box. What's the box? The box basically is the Word. Yes, righteousness, hallelujah. As long as I figure out what the thing does for me, guess what? It changes my life. Because as long as you believe that you're not righteous, what you're actually saying is God never gave me this gift. But He says right here that as a result of putting our faith in Jesus, you know, He's given to us the gift of righteousness. Now, you can believe what you want about you, and you can say what you want about you, and you can deny this if you want to, but the bottom line is this. The moment you became born again is the moment God gave you the gift of righteousness. You are righteous. Well, I don't feel righteous. Well, you know what? Some days, Johnny's not going to feel like playing with a gift. You know what I'm saying? It's not about what you feel. It's about what's been given to you. And God's given to us the gift of righteousness. I'm righteous. Praise God. You say, well, I don't understand what right... The owner's manual. Here it is. It explains righteousness. You know, a lot of our problems could be solved if we just read the owner's manual. The instructions on how to put it all together and how to make it work. Look over in Acts chapter 10. Show you another gift. Acts chapter 10. Verse 44, Peter was preaching in a room full of people. It says, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were born again, were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. God has given to us a gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, if you want it. I mean, can you imagine? What would you think about your children? Christmas time. Here you have a present, all wrapped up, bows and paper and all this stuff. And you say, here, Johnny, this is for you. And he looks at it and says, don't want that. What would you think? Would you think you got a weird kid? Would you think there'd been a switch in the, you know, hospital that gave you the wrong one or something? You think that's strange, Johnny? Why don't you want... I don't think... You know, that is not for today, Father. Johnny, you're kind of strange. We start therapy tomorrow. The Holy Ghost is a gift. Like everything else we've read here, a gift. Why would you not want... The Bible says in another place that every good and perfect gift comes down from our Father. Why would you not want the gift of the Holy Spirit? And yet some churches actually preach against this gift. Oh, you don't want this gift. And I tell you, you're not supposed to have it. It's not for today and all this other. Why would you not want that gift? If it comes from God, how can it be a bad gift? Well, not only that. Look here. How did they know that they had received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. We won't go over here and read it right now, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about tongues being one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So, incredible. God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, now do you want this gift? And I say, well, yeah, I'd like to have that gift. And the Holy Spirit says, oh, and hey, by the way, it's a gift within a gift. Because now that you've received me, I'm going to give you one of my gifts, and that is the gift of being able to pray in tongues. He says, here, take it. So you have a lot of people that deny the gift of the Holy Spirit, but then, incredibly, you have a lot of people who have accepted the gift of the Holy Spirit but deny praying in tongues. Well, if it's a gift from the Holy Spirit, why would you deny it? Why would you not want to partake of that gift as much as you possibly can? Because the owner's manual, the instruction manual on what to do and its benefits and its uses and so forth, all included right here in the Word of God. You know, why would you not want to partake of that gift knowing what it does for you? It is a gift. It's not a have to. It's a gift. And so, praise God, You know, I can talk about, well, hallelujah, I'm born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and God speaking in tongues. Well, do you pray in tongues? Oh, no, we don't do that. Why not? Well, now you don't want to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. How can you blaspheme the Holy Ghost by using a gift He gave you? I'd be like little Johnny taking his toy truck, and his friends come over and say, well, Johnny, you're going to play the big game. Oh, no, I don't want to blaspheme Mom and Dad. They think Johnny's weird. But yet you have a lot of Christians that will not partake of the gift they actually received in their own lives, in spite of the fact of what it will do for them. It's a gift. Look over here in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And it's talking about Jesus. And it says in verse 8, wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive. And look at this, gave gifts unto men. Jesus gave gifts unto men. And in verse 11 it says, and He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Well, if you focus just on verse 11, here we have what you could call ministry gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. He gave these gifts to us. Now, if He gave those gifts to us, don't you think He would hope we'd go beyond the box? What's the box? The box is reading it in the verse. Oh, yeah, He gave gifts unto men, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Well, glory to God. Well, yes, you know that there are no more apostles. There aren't? Nope. And the prophets, they don't operate today. Really? Nope. Really, the only thing you have today are evangelists, pastors, and those people downstairs in Sunday school, and that's it. Excuse me. Why would I only want to play with some of the gifts I've been given? In other words, why would I not want to introduce all of those gifts into my life? And some churches, they've even gone so far as to reject the gift of the pastor. And they run the church by a plurality in a committee or through some sort of board of elders, but they don't have a pastor. So they've rejected that gift. I've got a clue for you. How many of you know that if you get the gift of a board game, okay, that gift works one way. You know what I'm saying? Then if you get a gift of a remote control car, that gift works a different way. Then if you get a gift of a, you know, of something else, I mean, all gifts work differently, okay? The gift of the evangelist will operate one way. The gift of the apostle, another way. The gift of the prophet, a different way. The gift of the pastor, another way. So therefore, if I say that those gifts have no relevance for me, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying I do not want anything that gift can do for my life. Jesus is God. God, through Jesus, as Jesus, gave to us gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. These are gifts. Why in the world would I not want my life to be impacted by the people who are those gifts? The people in whom those gifts have manifested. And I'll just read a couple more things here to you. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, peace I give unto you, my peace give I unto you. We've been given the gift of peace. And He goes on in that verse and says, let not your heart be troubled. Well, how can I not let my heart be troubled? Look at the world we live in. Look at my family situation. Look at this, look at that, look at this. And Jesus says, wait a second. I've given you the gift of peace. This is a divine peace. See, the gift of peace that Jesus has given to us is not the absence of problems. It is the ability to rise above the problems and see them from God's perspective and understand, if God be for me, who can be against me? He says, I've given you peace, a peace that passes all understanding. Let not your heart be troubled. So every time that we face things, and we go through, and you're going to, every one of you, every one of us, no exception. And we embrace the things, We are embracing a gift that didn't come from God. We are embracing a gift that's come from the devil himself. Think of it. Nobody in their right mind is going to run up and put a bear hug on a big old cactus. It's nothing but pain, discomfort. You wouldn't like that. Well, that's what happens when people focus on all the junk and they begin holding on to it and begin embracing it. They don't understand why their life's so miserable. Well, Jesus gave you the gift of peace. A peace that only comes from Him. So problem or no problem, you can have this peace if you don't sit down there and just play with the box. In other words, just read the verse and then go on with life and hold on to the problems. No, He's given us peace that passes all understanding. 1 Peter 2:24 says that we have been given a gift of healing. By Jesus' stripes we were healed. There's a gift of healing for us. Yeah, I know sometimes these bodies fuss and they get cantankerous and they just argue with us. They want to be in control of our feelings and everything else. They want to control your daily life, do they not? I mean, just wake up in the middle of the night, go get a drink of water, stub your toe on the door jamb on the way, and guess who's in control now? It's that toe. You're dancing, yelling, screaming, using words you thought had been, buried. Waking everybody up. Because the toe has risen to preeminence in your life. Well, you understand what I'm saying? We've been given a gift of healing. I don't want to talk about my physical problems. I'll deal with them. But I don't want to run around talking about how, this hurts, that hurts, and boy, I tell you this, and just, brag on the deficiencies of an unglorified body. Why would I want to do that? Yes, I'll go to the doctor. But even when I go to the doctor, I don't like to sit and talk about the problems, which makes it a little bit difficult. So, what's going on? You sit there and feel like you're just completely negating every ounce of faith in your body. Well, it hurts. Well, if you don't want to tell the doctor the problem, don't go to the doctor. They expect to hear you complain. That's what you're paying them for. But by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. I mean, that's a gift. It's a gift. The more I learn how to use that gift, the less I'll be visiting my doctor. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and this is rather interesting, but it talks about how that God has given unto us a lively hope. A lively hope. And I was looking at that, I'm thinking, okay, lively hope, what in the world does that mean? What it means is hope that is living. A lively hope. Now, what that is telling us is that God has given to us the ability to wake up every morning with a living hope. What's the living hope? Well, in part, it's that my God is there for me, no matter what. That's my living hope. A dead hope is, I don't know what I'm going to do another day. That's a dead hope. A living hope is a hope that my God is for me, that Jesus is alive. He does not forsake me. He doesn't turn His back on me. That my Savior is right here for me. See, you don't have to wake up. Okay, you ever had those times in life when you don't even want to wake up? You know what I'm talking about? You're going through junk in life, whatever it is. And then when you do wake up, don't want to get out of bed because, everything's lousy, just na-na-na-na-na. Okay. That may be true, meaning the circumstances really may be there. But the thing is, God's given to us a living hope. That means in spite of the lousy that has, circled my life, the thing is, I'm living in living hope. I have a living hope every single day. Well, we've been fighting a financial battle. Yep, but I have a living hope that there's going to be provision some way, somehow. I don't know. I have a living hope. It's not a word hope. It's not a world hope. It is a living hope because it originates with God. Every single day of my life, I wake up. Hope is alive. Well, even the Bible talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. I have a living hope. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. I have a living hope. Now, I want you to look over in Hebrews chapter 2. There are so many additional verses we could look at. Well, you know, it talks about how that God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know, power, love, and a sound mind. That's a gift. He's given me the gift of a sound mind. You get around a lot of Christians, you never know it. God has given to us the power of a sound mind. I have the power of a sound mind. I don't have to live in confusion. I feel so confused. I just don't know what to do. But I have the power of a sound mind. God's given to me a sound mind. It's a gift. Listen, Christians don't have to be flaky. And there's a bunch of them that are. You know why? It's because they're not playing with their gifts. You know what I mean by that? The analogy. They're not utilizing the gift of a sound mind. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him?" Now he's speaking really, first and foremost, about neglecting the salvation or the born-again experience that comes through Jesus Christ. But the essence of the message in this would apply to us today. How shall we escape? All right, let us paraphrase it for this message today. How in the world are we ever going to explain our lives to the Father if while on earth we neglect all these gifts that He has given unto us? See, salvation is the umbrella term for all of these gifts that God has given to us. How in the world are we going to be able to explain to God why we failed, why we didn't, why we couldn't? I mean, how are we going to tell Him that, you know, our life was full of turmoil when He says, "I've given you peace"? I mean, on and on this goes. How are we going to say, "Well, I was always sick. I was a sickly person in life"? When He says, "Yeah, but by My Son's stripes you were healed. I gave you the gift of healing." I mean, you should have tried to appropriate that. Look, you know what? Let's say that I have 10 things wrong with my body, but I begin to appropriate that gift of healing. And let's say that I eradicate 4 of them, but I die years later still battling those 6. Well, you know what? Maybe I didn't do enough to eradicate the remaining 6, but praise God, I fought until I got rid of the 4. In other words, I'll be able to stand before God and say, "Look, I realize I didn't do enough, but you know, thank You for the gift of healing, because those 4 things were completely removed from my life." But if I neglect this salvation, if I neglect these gifts that He's given to me, how will I be able to stand before Him and explain my life? This thing about Johnny again, runs there into the living room, and, you know, out of all the gifts, like 80% of all these gifts under the tree for him, what if he opens them, he sees what they are, and just leaves them? And then when his friends come over later in the day, and they talk about all the presents they got, and Johnny says, "Well, I tell you what, I wish I could have a little remote control truck." And there's one right there under the tree. He says, "Boy, you know, I wish I had a game like that." And there's one under the tree. His mom and dad are going to be thinking, "This kid really does have problems." He wants to play with the box, and he leaves everything else alone, and then he tells his friends he never got this stuff. But yet, do we not do that as Christians? When all we do is complain about our bodies, are we not actually denying that God gave us the gift of healing? When all we do is complain about life and all the problems and all the family stuff and then it just wearing on my mind, are we not actually telling people that God never gave us the gift of a sound mind or gave us the gift of peace? Are we not basically telling people that our Father has neglected us? When Scripture says He has given us such a great salvation. Don't neglect the gifts that God has given to you. Look, Christmas time, it is inevitable. Some gifts you like more than others. As a kid, I wanted toys. I didn't want clothes. Clothes are just, you know, you get those all year long. I want toys. Well, you know, God gives us and has given to us the gifts that we need. He's given to us good and perfect gifts. There's nothing, they'll never break. They come pre-assembled. I mean, you know, it's all paid for. You're not going to get bills in the mail. He says, here, it's a done deal. Take them. They're yours. Gifts from Daddy. And what joy it must give him when we explore the gift of righteousness to find out, what is this? Wow! When we explore the gift of healing, we explore the gift of a sound mind, we explore the gift of justification, and we just keep exploring all these gifts, and the excitement just keeps building. Not just in us, in Him. Because He realizes they're going to be able to use that gift more and more, closer and closer to its fullness. Son, are you watching this? Those are your brothers and sisters down there. Praise God. I'm going to be the first person to stand here and publicly admit I have, to this point, lived my life not appreciative enough of the gifts my Father has given to me. And it needs to change. And the only way that's going to change is if I make a decision, I'm going to find out what I have. And I'm going to use it and live it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know one of the best gifts that we could give to the Father? Well, we could serve Him more. We could witness more. We could. But I'm going to show you the best thing that we could do for Him. Turn to 1 John. We'll close with this verse. This right here summarizes the greatest gift we could give to our Father. I'll attend church more. Praise God. That's a gift you give to me. Here's the best thing we can give to Him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. To believe on Jesus Christ means that we're not just believing that He is the Son of God and our Savior, but it means I'm believing on You, Jesus. Every word that's come out of Your mouth, everything that You've done, I'm believing on it. I'm going to bank my life on everything You've said. And then to love as He's loved us. Those are the best gifts that we can give Him. Take Him at His word, live like it, and then walk in His love. That's it. Everything else falls right into place when you do that. I want to be 1 John 2:23 or 3:23. I want to be 1 John 3:23. That's what I want to become. Because becoming like that means I'll become like Jesus. Hallelujah. Now those of you that are here today, and those of you that are watching, you know, we talk so much about Jesus and so forth. And as I look across this congregation, to the best of my knowledge, every one of you here, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've received, you've chosen to receive that gift of eternal life. For those of you that are watching, I really don't know how many of you have or have not accepted Jesus. But I can tell you that the moment you make a decision to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, to receive the gift of eternal life, you then become the Christmas story. Your heart becomes that manger in which Jesus is born. And you are born spiritually with His life, or His life is birthed in you. And all of your past, no matter what it is, has been completely wiped away. And God is not going to call it to remembrance. In other words, God will never hold things up of your past and hold them against you. From this point on, what he wants to do is take you deeper into a relationship with him to understand all these gifts that he has given to you. And for those of you who are watching right now, if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right now, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. And I'm telling you, you'll never regret it, because you then will be a recipient of eternal life. A life that will carry you beyond existence here on this earth and carry you into all of eternity. Now, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to lead in a prayer. In fact, as I lead in this prayer, you repeat it after me, and the people here, they're going to repeat it as well, just as encouragement unto you. So just go ahead and just bow your head and just pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I can't fix myself. I need your help. I ask you into my life. Wash away my past with your shed blood, and give to me eternal life. I don't know what it means to live as a Christian, but I want to try, and I want to live that way. And I ask you to help me. And I also ask you, Jesus, to baptize me with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, I receive you into my life. And I ask you to give to me every gift according to the Father's will. I receive it from you. And Jesus, from this day forward, I want to live for you. And I thank you for helping me do that. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, those of you that prayed that, please, either write us a letter or send me an email. You can do it there, the Contact Us feature there at the website. Just send me an email and let me know that you prayed that, because we want to pray with you. We want to continue to help you and just to encourage you. And man, praise God. This is the best Christmas you've ever had. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.